This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
My man, on a Thursday morning at 10 in the morning, Don Lewis. Don, how the hell you doing, my brother?
Blessed and highly favored, just like you, big dog.
What you been up to?
Man, I've been writing songs all night, hanging out with good times and good people. They didn't last forever, so I had to keep them going. You know, now we're here in the morning. I'm ready for the day. I'm about to murder it. Have a great one.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. How's the Nashville co-writing stuff been for you? Because coming from Texas, it's a little bit of a different world.
Well, now that I've built up, you know, the resume and the love that when I walk into the room, people value what I'm saying now. In the beginning, it was very hard to walk in as a new country artist from doing prior what I had done and showing up, people not taking it as serious or not valuing what you were saying, so they kind of steamboat you.
Yeah.
And just roll over, or they repeat your idea to you and hurt your feelings real bad. Like, damn, I didn't just say that a second ago. So that's okay. That's okay. I didn't say that. You're right. That's a good idea. That's a great idea. And that's how it go. But now they appreciate me when I come in the room and my input, I got value behind it. It feels a lot better than more quote unquote hits. I don't know, hits are subjective. I don't have a billion streams yet, but I have enough to get people's attention. So
yeah,
they appreciate what I'm saying now. It's been awesome.
Yeah, dude. And you were drinking. You're the first guest in a while I've got drinking the Surfsides, man. And I've been sober for 8 years. I had to quit drinking a while back.
Which is
working in the world that we live in. It's tough.
It is tough.
But I save a lot of money. Granted, I could be not saving money, and I could be fine with drinking the Surfsides if I was still drinking because they send them to us. But it's a good vodka tea, right?
I save a lot of money. I mean, you get these me for free. I can't
you enjoy, no, you enjoy
better
them?
Than better than Mad Decent. I would be really upset if it wasn't vodka because it's so, you know, plain like tea. It's probably getting you there already at the time.
That's awesome. Well,
it's great. No, they did good. It's awesome. That's why I got you another one. I didn't just get one for her. I'm just slamming the first one. I got a whole other one to crack
We're
open.
We're going to send you home with a 4-pack.
Full send, baby.
Hell yeah. So let's kind of get into it. So this is the first time that you and I are formally meeting. So for folks that don't know who Don Lewis is yet, kind of give us a little bit of your background. I know you're a Texas guy. You said you did some stuff in the rap game. You played football in college. You've had some success, got some opportunities on a national scale with folks like the Today Show, BET, record coming, liquor talking. What's
man? Who did his homework.
Who is Don Lewis?
Who is Don Lewis? I'm a philanthropic child of the Lord, brother. I come out here, I give selflessly. Everybody's always asking me all the time, well, Don, why you do it? So I give it all away, and hopefully I make more. I got into music, man, because I just knew I was supposed to be doing something more than working at a sawmill. I wanted to go doing that end, and it wasn't filling my spirit. I'm a big man. You see what it is.
Yeah.
Going in there and working good and being a good worker for somebody who don't appreciate you is just one of the worst things you can do with your life. So, and you don't get your dreams happening. You're just making somebody else money. You're never really, like, stepping up for yourself. You're going to put yourself in a position to never get ahead, always right in. So, complacent. And I didn't feel complacent at those places. I grew up in a little small town called Cumby, Texas, outside of moving from Dallas. It was a little ranch. My pop put me on 12 acres. He taught me how to work the land for a long time. I literally grew up breaking broncs, grabbing my own eggs, you know, going out there and feeding the pigs slop and shit. It was awesome going to, you know, learn that kind of manhood now that I appreciate today as a grown man. At first, as a kid, you don't want to do that. Then you start to love it. And then you start to appreciate the discipline. Outside of, you know, living on the farm, ended up moving away and playing football for a bit. Got a college football scholarship. Not many people in my town get to do that. It was either, you know, like go work at the sawmill, go work at the feed store, do this, or college, right?
Yeah.
So we ended up getting a first person, generational curse breaker is what I like to call myself, a job. And also, you know, passion to get the first one to get the football scholarship. So I went out to play at Wichita Baptist for a while, dropped out, ended up having a kid, love my son, much love to him. It's why I work so hard. It's what I do.
Yeah.
Took the same discipline that I was having in football, applied it to this music game, got back in football for a year, didn't work out what it was, ended up hurting my knee, and I'm sure you've, you know, seen that thing. It's not that bad. I way would rather do this than have to worry about, you know, the physical demands that football is always asking of you. And when I started seeing the return on what me, not even cash-wise, it's just I'm talking about people's spirits, because when you start saying certain things growing up, and I've grown up a lot now, as you have, you start hitting more people in demographics besides just 16-year-olds. Just, you know, if you get 85-year-olds who probably predominantly would not ever listen to somebody of my lovely, you know, texture is the best way to put it. And then you get them out there singing along to you. It's like, damn, you know what? Maybe I've been wrong. And it's a good time. And I love being that connection in the bridge. You can do that in music, but you couldn't do that in football, because in football, you're over there playing for somebody else. You're playing for a team. You're playing for it is a team, and it's like a team sport. But when you get on stage and you start talking about certain things, people are engaged. It's not like shut up and tackle or shut up and throw the ball. This is, I'm engaged with what that man is saying on the microphone right now. So I hope he's saying enough to make it make sense to me, and then make me want to stay in this room, party with him all night, cry, laugh, have a good time, go buy a drink. You know, that's way more power. And you bring God up. So you bring up all that noise, and you just brought people to church right there sitting at the bar. Or you go play football, which is, you could say, like, thank God for making me as capable as I am, but it's not for God while we go out there.
Yeah. Where was the turning point where you're like, all right, I can do this music thing?
I was listening to a lot of music back in the day. I think around 2014 through 2016, all the good songs were coming out from Caroline. You remember? Yeah. And those were great. But then there were some people that were sneaking in with mediocrity, is what I would call it. I feel like I'm very cynical. Even with my own music, I try to at least do mad decent on it. And I remember this girl getting in my car. I had a Tahoe at the time. My friend, we used to split it and drive back and forth. And she got in. She's like, you got to listen to this new artist. He's so good. Turned on a song. I was just sitting there. I was like, man, you know this word for word, and this does not land well. It don't feel good. He's like, you really trying to force this. This art that it's art, and it's supposed to be for somebody. It just wasn't for me. But I realized right at that time, it's like, if this could be, you know, digested and given mass media presence, I can make something that could do the same thing, because my work ethic is the same. And if I apply that to going in there and making a damn song, I will get to where I want to be. And I'm 4 years in now, and I've come a lot further than people I know, man, have been doing it for 15 years. So it's not lucky. I just, the work ethic go crazy.
And I think that comes from your background and the grind of working on the ranch and doing the work with the family. Like you said, going out feeding the pigs the slop and the doubles. And you're doing football in East Texas. You're doing football even at, like, it's not like the massive Division I scale, but you're doing football in Texas and in Arkansas, bro. It's a grind. And you imply that grind to this music game, bro. It can take you some places.
It does, for sure. There's a lot of people, man. Hopefully, whatever sports or whatever coaches they had or any kind of teaching earlier in life, they apply it to the life they want. What do you want? What do you want to do? People be so, I don't really know, you know? And then they get the 35, and then they get the 42. I don't really know. And 50 hit them. Like, well, I don't really know. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You can have it. You just got to ask.
Yeah.
I asked God straight, man, I know I'm supposed to do more than a sawmill. Sawmill's nice. It's cool. Mad decent. I could work my way up that ladder.
Yeah.
And probably would not be appreciated unless I put 10 plus years in there. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Instead, why not go try anything? I could make shirts. I'd rather, you know, anything, whatever it is to make people want to look at my brand, my design, my love, my business. And I found music. And then I started talking some real nonsense, and everybody else was like, okay, you should stay on that. And then you got other people like, he didn't make it in football. Why he think he gonna make it in this? And I start laughing at him. I'm like, all right, bet.
That just motivates you, dog.
Oh, put that chip on my shoulder.
That just motivates you. That's what I'm saying. You seem like a chip on the shoulder kind of guy.
There was a video, man. I remember my ex was in the room. She used to take care of me pretty good. She had a video of the dude saying that. And then I laughed at it. I was like, that's so crazy. And it hurt. And it did. And I wrote a whole rap song about it. It was very funny. It was on edge. And then I invited him to come open up for me, because he was wanting to get into music right after that.
Yeah.
And I let him. Because, you know, as I said before, I was a philanthropic child of the Lord. You know, I'm always just giving away whatever blessing I can. Yeah. I was doing okay at the time. Now I'm doing a lot better. But I did it just to, you know, humble pie. Like, I keep my people always saying, you know, you think you so this, this, and that. I was like, no, I've worked for this. I've practiced it. I put it in so much. You know, drillers make killers. So I'm confident behind it now. And I've done it so well now to this point. I'm not cocky. I know what my worth is.
There's a difference between cockiness and confidence. 100%. There's a big difference between the two. And like you said, if you can exude the confidence and step with authority and pride in what you're doing and knowing this is what I'm supposed to be doing, man, absolutely, you can take over the damn world.
And I felt it in the music more than I felt it in football. And I did football my whole life. You know what I mean? My cousins did football their whole, some kind of athletic event, our whole lives, and it came out to being this thing right here. And I still work out, and I still take care of myself, because this is sports. I'm not trying to beat nobody else, but if I could beat me every day, I'm already winning like this, shit, I'm going to be at the top here soon because I'm just trying to beat me every day.
What's the big difference between rap and country? Because you said you had some time in the rap world, and obviously, like, coming out of Texas, there's a lot of rappers historically, and I'm from New York, so I grew up kind of around it, not in the city or in a neighborhood where guys were coming out of that, but like in proximity to you know. And it's like Texas right now, booming rap scene with Big X the Plug and those guys, Mexican OT, like
good names.
Of course down south in Houston there's all that stuff. So what made you do the pivot, aside from growing up country is hell on a ranch, bro. Where does the pivot kind of come from, and what are the big differences that you've seen?
So my pops, would black country cowboy, used to head and heel with me, taught me how to do a whole bunch of stuff, would listen like Slipknot, Korn, freaking Metallica.
We love that rock stuff, bro. That's awesome.
But my mama, she had two marriages in between. And the first one would play like the Eminem, man, the Andre 3. My mom would play the Andre 3000. She played the UGK. She would do all that stuff. And the Big Hawk, you know, all the Big Moes, and the H-Town Flow kind of got to me. I was like, I like the slow chop. It was just so smooth at the time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, when I got into the rap game, how could I bring that back and just land it smooth? Say something not as aggressive. Say something not as, like, over-hypersexualized. Not degrade nobody and just like, you know, I'm this and that, and I ain't talking about money, and you're like, oh, you know, that's nice. The rap game changed in the country scene when I knew, how can I say all this with only 7 syllables? That made it a lot harder, but I met some good people on the way so far. RIP to one of them who taught me how to write, Mr. Chad Sellers, and he gave me the song Neon You. Because of him, I know how to emulate the same kind of feeling I had in the song of Neon You, and apply it to all my new country songs, and or just find a certain feel that feels like that. And I know that's a banger in my heart, because if I like it, as I said before, I'm very quote-unquote cynical to myself. If it's not good, I'm not gonna lie to myself, and you know, you can't feed me shit and just tell me it's sugar. It is what it is. And that's how my music's gotten for me.
Yeah. What's it been like being a part of this kind of revolution within country music, of folks like you said, of a different texture, like coming in now and being a part? And obviously you're over at Empire and things are booming over there with folks like Shaboozy and CC.
Hell,
and there's 2024 is a great time for great revolution too, within country music and creativity, and the playbook is open. The playbook is wide open.
It's all on time right now. Just think about, you know, Shaboozy's blowing up. I don't even want to live on his coattails, but I have my own music, and I'm so appreciated to be on the same team as someone that amazing what he's doing. I got to meet CC. Hopefully I get to have her on a couple of my songs. Beautiful lady. She keeps on killing it already, and she's making all of our big people pretty happy, as I see when I come around and they start smiling and stuff, and they don't do that. They don't show fake love, and they won't sign anything. Don't do that. No, they'll let you go real silently and quit. It's tough out here in the music game. But my sound, all of our sounds, the three names you just brought up, all different, all something subjective, all something worth showing a little love to. And as I continue to bust out this new album that I got coming out on the 24th in August, I know I'm in the right time. I'm in the right era. Bro, I'm from Cumby, Texas. As I said before, I'm making history over here. First black country artist ever to go play the BETs within the last month. I had to sit there and fathom that. I was like, we really made history, and no one's going to give us our flowers, which is fine, but I have to sit there and digest that knowledge and think, who else has done what I've done? And I'm not saying the Cockaway is like, who else has done ever? Like, we're really bringing history to somebody. Yeah. We might make somebody in the crowd want to pull up their pants, put some cowboy boots on, throw a hat on, go out, you know what, I want to throw some T-posts down and see what that feels like, go build a fucking barbed wire fence. Yeah. Cool, I'm glad I've inspired you to go put that kind of work in. I'm glad I've inspired you to go try this simple kind of life, because it don't got to be as much as what we think it is, man. We don't need as much as what we think we do. Yeah. It'd be real nice. Sometimes I just throw this phone. I'd be so tired of talking to people.
Dude, the do not disturb button is powerful.
It don't even work. They just keep calling me.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Hit me with three calls.
Oh, no.
The double one, I still ignored it. Like, nah, you ignored it too fast. So I know it's on now.
Yeah.
He told me that. I was like, what the heck? Nah, leave me alone. He didn't think it's what he wanted to ask for. They playing your song right now. I love them though. He's my friend. You know, but it was late. It was like 3 a.m. They be calling me at all times for everything.
Man, what was the BET Awards like? And what's it like being the guy repping the country flag out there? Because there's a lot of cult, there's a lot in the culture, and a lot of great music of all different varieties at that thing.
Absolutely, and there's some that you're gonna like, there's some that, you know, we all don't agree with or like. That's just how it goes on both ways, even between country. For my first experience going out there, I mean, we stayed pretty much to the business side of it. Besides, we went to a little cigar bar and talked about how proud we were of our growth and success at the end. Pulled up into the BET Awards, up. We're about to play country, dog. And, like, imagine, these people are not listening to freaking country at the time. They're expecting for me to come out there and go, my putty pink and my Buddha Hope Brown kind of vibe, you know? And I didn't. I already knew I wasn't going to do that. So you go out there, you start singing, which it was part of the new album, some of the stuff we're working on in the first. You really have to get them to start moving their head, because they don't know you. They don't know who the hell I am, first time country coming out there. And I watched the transition go from, like, this shit kind of wet. This is, you know, oh, baby, she, you know what? He moving kind of good right up there. Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, and then, like, the whole flip from a 180 be crazy, because, you know, I'm trying to bring good music and a good time. And it's like, how can I say everything all the rappers are saying? Less words, just as cool, just as suave. And then, you know, you got get other people start talking like that. Then you got them, you know, cutting out certain harsh words, cutting out words that don't even need to be a filler word, using real vocabulary. And like, bro, I'm murdering you right now. You don't feel the presence of what, like, the lyricism is going on, this noise. They're going to start to get it, though, here soon. Everybody's already getting it.
Yeah, it's like, instead of the context, you're talking about the ranch. You're talking about your hood, which your hood was a 12-acre farm. 100%. It was a 12-acre ranch.
It'd still be hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a grown-ass man, take care of my friends and my family. That's hard.
Yeah.
And I pray with my granny. I go take her when she needs help. I go cut down the trees.
What's granny like? Tell me about granny.
She's a blessing. An angel sent straight down to earth. I work so hard for my son and people like her. I want to get to the place that I see this vision getting into, and I will, hopefully, before she passes, because you never know how long you got with your grandparents anymore, and anybody's life could be taken tomorrow. You appreciate what you do have in the room, and she's definitely a driver for some of my music, because I want her to be able to get up, and she don't move that well no more. Dance with my papa. So I try to put them hips in the songs for her to just be able to move them hips at least. She can do anything. She can get her moving a little bit, man. And she my right hand everything. When I need somebody to lean on, she pray for. My mama's amazing too, but like, my granny is somebody. I'm going to have my mama a long time, because I've been praying for her all the time. My granny, you know, like I said, I can only put so many prayers in. I can't keep beating everybody off her, but she needs more blessings. So y'all keep them in if you're hearing these things.
Yeah, I'm very close to my grandparents as well. And my grandparents were huge in raising me. And I had a mom and dad that were around, but there's something special about those days at your grandparents' house.
Weekend with the cousins at granny's house, they all come down. The family kind of gets together. I had the older cousins. I was like the baby. It was mean to me. That's all I'm going to say. We got a good relationship now. Shit's all sweet. And then the whole, you know, granny and papa or granny and grandpa or whatever, the Lewis name actually comes from papa. So
really?
I was able to incorporate that. Hope he's proud.
That's awesome, dude. Now, were they near you? Were they coming up in the same area?
Man. Whenever mom needed help, and they were always willing to pick me up on a dime. They used to walk around acting like I was their baby, because they was a black and white, and it just, and they were like, how y'all having a baby at this age right here? So papa was proud, like, my bad, Del Lewis. That's that Don or Dimitri Lewis. It's so funny. Just like making them smile even at this time right now, because all my other cousins, all my other siblings, you know, they ain't so nice to them sometimes. We're caught in our own ways and afflictions. A little harsh on each other. We shouldn't be so damn harsh on each other. And I come over there smiling and have a good time. And I like driving all the nonsense. That's the best part. Yeah. They're amazing. Now I'm Don Lewis. And I'm killing it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So when did you first start coming out here to Nashville?
Only like a year and a half ago, I would say. It really has not, maybe 2 years now? It's not been that much. Chad came out and helped us with the Neon You song the first time. I wrote Red Light just at the time, and we started promoting that. That was our first, like, intro to country. And I was already panicking, because my manager came, and he ended up signing my deal with me and signing me out of some, like, it was real bogus what I was already in. It's the best way to put it. I'm not going to talk no nonsense on it.
It's the music business, bro. It's the music business. We live and we learn.
Sometimes you go through the bogus. But he came through and bought me out. He was like, what do you think about doing country? And I looked at him and was like, you're crazy, brother. I was like, not that I'm not a hick. It was just like, I kind of want to do this flow that's not quite rap, not quite art, whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
But after we got to a few, there was a few headaches in between trying to get into it. We almost wrote a song about Alabama. It was the worst thing ever for me to sing personally. I felt like they were taking my soul while I was singing it. But eventually we started, you know, building that. Don's got value when he speaks on these songs. We should probably listen to something, what he wants to write about, and then try to move it to him. As soon as we started doing that, we had a couple hits. And I was like, man, that's crazy, right? So, like, I got a little value where I know what I'm talking about. So he writes me all the time, but if you don't want to talk to me and get to know me, you're not going to know shit.
Yeah.
And that's what it had to turn into.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome, dude. What is the, because, right, obviously, like, it has on here the NFL stuff. What is an NFL combine like?
Well,
what the hell is it like? Were you at like the official one up in Indy, or is it like a remote one, or how does all that stuff
work? So there's a lot of those based, obviously, because it would be just too much for to get every athlete that's trying to apply for the, you know, the combine to pull up to one place. They put them all over, not just Texas. I'm sure it's all over the world, global. Yeah. If you get invited to it, you either pay or you get a direct invite and you get to go work out and do stuff with them. At the time that I had been signing up, it was 2020. And they stopped doing the regular testing.
COVID combine, bro.
So, like, if you weren't in it, football really is politics. There's, I mean, sports, period. Life, yeah. Life nepotism follows in, or, like, you know somebody upper hand, and that can happen. Workouts were made multiple times, and then new opportunity was like, hey, keep coming back to this. Like, we are looking at you, this and that, but you got to keep testing this before it happens. And then in between, you know, that's a lot to maintain. That happens, I think, every 6 months or something like that. They do some kind of thing, or it might just be for the year. So imagine you got to stay healthy all year. You got to keep your body together. Ended up getting a bar fight, blew my knee out, man. It was bad. And I was like, damn, what am I going to do? I cried a little bit, I'm not going to lie. I cried. Like, I was one day, just had a freaking knee elevated above my heart. Sitting there thinking, like, damn, I'm a grown-ass man. I can't even walk right now. This is tough.
Yeah.
Move my leg. It hurts too damn bad. Then I started playing, puckling on my little guitar. I just bought a little guitar and was sitting there, and I sucked so bad. It was fine, though. We've gotten so much better. You got to suck before you get good.
Yeah, that's just it, man. You get better. You get better at it as you go. And being a musician is just, it's similar to being an athlete. When you're doing it right, you're traveling all the time, like you're on a team. You got to practice at your craft.
Take care of yourself.
Just like you're taking reps and you're doing drills, you're sitting there songwriting and working on the guitar and rehearsing.
You get better confidence, man. Exactly. You practice so much, and I'm like, oh, how's he doing that? Because he sits. You don't see the part. All you see is game day. You don't see the practices where he stays up seven hours watching TV, hanging out with the boys, and he's just talking with them. Or when he's out there promoting, trying to get 400, 500 people in a little acoustic show, and he promoted it for a week. They don't see, you know, they just, like, show up. So when they just show up, they think shit be sweet.
Yeah.
But I get it 100%.
Yeah, it's a grind, man. Do you miss the football stuff? I feel like it's always a party.
Man, my body feels good, bro. I feel the only time my knees hurt is when I pop them out.
Yeah. I mean, like, the team camaraderie and stuff like that.
So I built
kind of... Or I guess it became more like a professional kind of thing for you. Like, when you're doing it at the level you were doing it at, it becomes more like work than the love of the game is. When guys like myself that just played in high school.
Yeah, itinerary got crazy after high school. You know, you got a 5:30 weights, and then you got 6:30 breakfast. 6:30, you're going to be eating. Then you got to go to class probably at 7 to 9, 9 to 10, you got an hour class, you get out, you got to go to lunch after that, then you go down, you got film. You got might a few more classes, then you got film, you go down there, watch film, then you got practice, then you go down, and you got maybe coach, your special coordinator calls you back to go and have another kind of meeting. So, yeah, it's a job, 100%. I've been able to do the same thing and build the friend group / team around me, and I've made a lot more people disciplined from, you know, bringing those kind of things that I've had in football. People who I didn't know structure was so lacking outside of me or my family, and didn't know that, like, everybody don't be practicing this and make everybody so, like, your life would get a lot easier if you put X amount of, you know, just a little bit more into you. Start doing that, see my friends get better. Unfortunately, you lose some friends in between. If you ain't bearing good fruit, I will cut you off. If you ain't, you know, get out of my harvest. And I've been pretty much weeding out the ones who weren't supposed to be in this new season that's about to come. Yeah. I think it's about to be a blessed season because we're all staying on that football discipline that I've been able to apply and have my team now. It's not just the college football team I was working, and we're not doing it for just the money. But money going to be real nice when it come in like that. I know it's coming.
Yeah, dude. You can make a lot of money in the music world.
Yeah, you can lose a lot of money.
You can't. Oh, yeah, you got to spend money. You got to spend money to make money.
Make money, baby. Absolutely. I need it all the time.
So who are some of the friends that you've got to make here in Nashville? Like who's some of the
look at the boys rock? Over there, all handsome aside.
I know you got Mike and Nick over there.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for drinking water while me and Mike drink our vodkas. Yeah, somebody's gonna be responsible. Yeah. No, there's more people. I met my boy Colby. I met Ben, but like this, I try to keep it real family oriented. Just unfortunately, sometimes you know, family get a little lackadaisical. They get to being lazy around because they just see they see game day. Game day beginning. You thinking shit sweet all the time. Yeah. Don't realize I need you working just as hard as me. Because when I work hard for you and you work hard for me, we work hard together. But yeah. when I go doing everything, you slacking all the way. Like, I got you.
Yeah, high tides raise all ships, exactly. Bro. Everybody's grinding and doing that. What's a night out with Don Lewis look like? What's a night out? Where do you like to hit up? You a Broadway guy? You an East Nashville guy? You a Midtown guy?
I love
guy?
People, and I don't like being around a lot of people.
Though. Okay, so you're not as much of a go out. You're more like a hang at the house kind of guy.
I don't, you know, because the club scene, I can't hear you in a club. I can't go out of those places. And like, what am I going to say to somebody? Drink! And I'll say, yeah, drink! So then I just got hit for $16 right there. I ain't even got a name. You know, I'm over there waiting at the bar, and we can't hear nothing. The fucking band's playing, blaring right at our face. Midtown is usually where I'm going to go, because I like Live Oak. I like the live acoustic kind of Johns. That, you can have, like I said, have a conversation. You can mess around and do that. Or I go to East. We'll go to the basement. We'll go hang out at Lakeside kind of vibe.
Bro, Lakeside is a whole vibe. It's like a fucking time machine in there, dude.
It's more comfortable. You know what I mean? I don't want to go hang around much kids. They got 19 years old, or you know, just got in the club. I just got in. No, I'm good.
Have you done the Broadway thing?
Oh, I feel like you did it. We did it for sure. Yeah, and I've done it more than a couple times. And I sat there, and then I sat in Midtown. I was like, yeah, the vibes are immaculate. More over here, I'm way more less anxious, and I'm not waiting. Not that you know lines aren't cool or whatever. I'm not gonna be able to sit there and wait an hour and a half to get in Jason Aldean's bar. What, is it going to change my life? I accidentally walked around, though, one time and skipped so many people and didn't know I did it until I got all the way to the front. And I just winged it, though, and I got in. It was probably about 300 people, though, dog.
Yeah, dude, I used to work down there.
Do it confidently, and you can do anything.
Yeah, dude, I used to work the front door and the side door at Whiskey Row. And I was the guy checking the IDs and in the middle of the shit.
It's a shit storm.
It is. And that was in 2018, so it's only gotten crazier over the last 6 years.
You happy to be out of that?
Oh, bro. Yeah, bro. And I went from that to traveling around the country in a Sprinter van, and that changed my life.
Glad to be
traveling in a Sprinter van, bro.
On the inside of the bar scene with this instead.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, have you gotten to go out and do a lot of shows yet and do a lot of the touring stuff? Or
yeah, we I remember the first show and just, you know, not sucking, just like being okay. And then the bigger we get, you just get more confident, as we said. Now I'm just booking pop-up shows. We're booking all over the place. I got Utah, got Kansas City coming up here soon.
Ooh, those are fun.
Yeah, that's my first time in the Kansas City area.
Kansas City's cool, dude. Mm-hmm. I did it in the, I know in Texas you guys claim your meat and your barbecue and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Kansas City's got some good shit, bro. Kansas City, them burnt ends in Kansas City, dude. Make sure you get out there and that's on the itinerary to have some barbecue and
I'm
shit.
Give them the
there.
Benefit of the doubt. Well, I gotta see it first.
It's good. It's good. I promise. It's good. It's good.
I'm ready. I'll take your word for it. I gotta have it before I go give
where
them
else,
props.
Where else have you gone and done shows? You said you got Utah, and Kansas
California,
City.
California. We play Las Vegas. I got a couple good friends out there, and I've done some private shows. Vegas was fun. Absolutely.
I was gonna say, I've never been to Vegas. I think we might be going for the NFR this year. I think we're gonna do it. And I've never been. I've heard Vegas, you've got to do like a select amount of days because there's too much and there's too little. I've heard 2 to 3 days in Vegas because 4 days, it just becomes trouble.
What are you doing out there 4 days? You're just sitting 4 days in a row, man? You need to go home. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, we got the, they gave me a nice little hotel out there at the Wynn. If you go anywhere, go to Hash House Go-Go. Super great prices. Huge proportions. You're gonna have to take it to go.
Oh,
anyway. The pancakes probably like as big for me to you and that other mic over there.
No shit, it's huge. That's awesome.
They take good care of you and then go to the buffet, which is at the Wynn. One of the best buffets in Vegas is at the Wynn, and I always get stupid stuff. And I gotta go to my room and just turn off all the lights and pass out, get the itis.
There you go. Yeah, that's
great time though. You know, nothing better than passing out on a buffet. It makes you feel good.
It does. It's good for the soul.
It's like I earned this. I'm in Vegas. I'm gonna go hard. I mean, yeah. You're just busted, sitting there looking like a can of busted biscuits, man, stuff.
So tell me about Liquor Talking, and tell me about this record that you've been working on. What's the process been like for that? Where's the title come from? How does all that come to be?
You know, I really didn't have a theme in my head besides Country Weekend, which was like, you know, sometimes toxic, sometimes like, I'm going to make you, you're going to feel great while you're here. Might be a little toxic. But it's going to be like, okay, there's more good in them than bad. Liquor Talking came into mind sitting with all these songs that we got coming, and the song also called Liquor Talking. All these songs that are going to come out on the album is the Liquor Talking album. Different ways of how you feel when the liquor. You might be sad one day. I remember drinking back in the day. You might be a little angry one day. But yeah. I was drinking and forget, and now I'm pissed. And that's how it goes. You might be a little, you just be trying to hang out with the boys, trying to turn up and party. So like, it's going to be how different reactions, different things. Can I, Lord, if I'm over here drinking again, I said I'd stop doing it. And I look at me having a beer kind of vibes. We're going to have, that's the liquor talking to us.
Yeah.
You know, there are different ways how the liquor start talking to you. And we've had, I love you, Karens, come into our group and be like, well, you sound like you're just drinking a lot. Well, I'm a grown man who takes care of my family, my friends, and my business. If I want to go work out, go running, go hang out and have a beer while I'm fishing, I'm going to have a beer. And you can't stop me because I'm a grown-ass man, and I love you. So we started doing that, and that's liquor talk. It is what it is. Like, maybe I get more confident. And all these songs are going to have these different emotions inside of it and have these different kind of stories, but it's just going to correlate with one another. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, like, hopefully not too many people skip.
I like that concept, dude. It sounds like a concept record almost, because you have that general theme of it. Was that important to you to have like a theme of your first big record coming out with Empire?
To be tight with one another, each song should, like, you know, if it shouldn't be too off brand. I shouldn't go from obviously doing rap bars and doing strict traditional country, because I want people to realize, like, hey, I can give you the strict traditional country. Now I got this new idea for rap, country music. It's not rap. It's a soul country, and I put it all together, and they think they don't like it, and then they get here, okay, and they see him start moving, okay. It's like, you just gotta accept what I'm doing over here.
What is soul country? How would you describe it? Because that intrigues me, just hearing that.
It bleeds a little bit more bluesy, you know. It's got a lot more seasoning to it. I put hips with it. It makes you feel like you got to stomp, clap, or if you can't stomp or clap, you might sway a little bit, and you find yourself doing it. You don't know why you're doing it. But the reason is because it's good. It's got that soulry to it. It's my music that I'm not copying nobody else to try to make. I'm sure there's probably been other soulry artists, but I know the music I have is distinguished. It is standing out. My voice, my songs are not, you know, replicating anybody else.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Inspired maybe by people, but not, you know, not trying to be nobody else but me.
Yeah, yeah. And you said growing up, you listened to all kinds of different shit. It threw me for a loop when you were like Slipknot, because that's the shit I listened to growing up.
My pops was weird, man. Hey, but you enjoy it, you know, when you start to listen, because you want to like the things whoever, you know, your admirer is liking. At the time, so I started listening to lyrics and started breaking it down and stuff, and that kind of music got me crying, got me going with it, and I started wanting to even make my own kind of rock music. I have a couple of rock songs. They're not coming out yet, but...
Really?
Yes. I just like making music. It's so fun. So fun. Whatever I want to do.
That's the best part about it, is you do have that creative control to kind of do what you want to fucking do.
But if you're going to write an album, you obviously got to...
Yeah, you got to have it as a theme. Yeah. There's a time and a place for everything. The 90s country stuff. Guys like Toby Keith, who were some of your heroes in the cowboy world.
That is definitely one of them. Toby Keith, you know, you think about Should Have Been a Cowboy or How Do You Like Me Now? I feel that song in my spirit.
Oh, dude, it sounds like with your story, How Do You Like Me Now? Could be the title of the Don Lewis movie.
Yeah.
If there was a Don Lewis movie, How Do You Like Me Now?
You start, I've had a lot of people say we were lucky. Or like, you know, he's not going to, obviously that guy that I let come open up for me, that we weren't going to do what we've done. And I know we're going way further than what I'm already at right now, but I'm just so appreciative of God and what I have. And Toby Keith's How Do You Like Me Now just resonates super hard in my soul. Garth Brooks was huge because he had that, he would say, I would say sultry for him. His voice was different in the world of the country at that time, because that was a brother. That brother could sing, man. Garth Brooks got it going on. Trace Lawrence, Trace Atkins were just wonderful songwriters.
Oh, dude, Trace Atkins,
Pay Me a Birmingham, yeah. Ain't No Thinking Thing. I loved, like, they had swag. They had swag in their country. And I wanted to start adding more. That's the best way I could put it. Like, cool swag to the country, to it. Make people feel not a player, but a winner. How can I make you feel like a winner and then be either sad or be, you know, I'm getting over this shit right here.
Yeah, I just saw Trace Atkins at a festival, dude. the dude still got it. He's a big hoss. He came out. Yeah, first song was Lord. First song was I Got My Game On. And he just came out and it was just, you see this big dude in the tight black shirt with the cowboy hat and he's still moving around and that's doing his thing, man.
That's the goal, you know.
That's maybe getting the swagger.
25-30 plus years inside your career, and that's what we all want to be.
And still
do.
Having that same swagger.
Yes.
Because, like you said, there's ways that you can have game and have swagger and be talking about things that you believe in, not talking about shit that you don't doesn't resonate with you or your fans.
And imagine you get too old and you've been singing about what you just said on the second half, and you're 55 years old, 60, and that music don't work the same no more. And you look like, what the hell are they doing up there, moving their hips and doing this and that? He was able to keep his mature enough to be. It's legendary, you know? It's going to last. It's generational music.
Yeah.
That kind of music is going to be, you can turn that on at any age. I'm like, oh, I like the way you say that. It makes me feel the swag. It's exactly what it is.
One hot
that's
mama.
That's what I want. Yeah, exactly.
Swing bat
any
a bat
age
a swing.
Exactly.
Badonkadonk's a lifetime
exactly.
song.
Exactly. That's the goal. That's the goal. To have that generational music that hits every age. Even the kid, when the kids just start, they don't know what they're listening to, but they're like, I like this, and they might sing the hook.
Yeah. Yeah, because it goes back to the flow and the beat and the melody and things like that. What's it been like working with your producers that you work with? Are they out in L.A.? Are they here in Nashville? Or
they're all here in Nashville. I haven't done any recording yet in Nashville.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Yeah, that was my first time going out there. They their resumes and the catalogs are just, you know, stupid. So they're amazing to get to work with.
Have you felt the imposter syndrome of, like, what am I doing in this room? Like, the first time you go into this fancy studio? Or you have that confidence?
I know I got value behind me of any kind of thing, you know, and, like, I'm proud of it's because it's my story. We're trying to write a song about. So I mean, you wanted me to come here, get to know me, and then write a song that might A, be good with my vocals, B, actually match up to my lifestyle or what I've done. You know, so I don't go in there thinking, oh man, I don't know, I shouldn't even be in here with the dude that did the Miranda Lambert thing and the Culture Wall thing. It's like, man, I've earned it to be here. I didn't deserve nothing. I've worked my way to be able to have this conversation, have this opportunity, and I capitalize on all those.
Yeah.
And I don't do it, you know. Too over, you know, zealous or confident, real humble pie. Try to, you know, put my story, my spin on it. And now that I'm at this level, they, like I said, they appreciate the words and they'll tell me no. And I can take a no if it's not supposed to go in a song. Because that's the hardest part about songwriting. Imagine you got like this whole nice ass hook and you got this part and you think you got the next part, which is a rhyme scheme for the same one above. It's like, nah, you got to go. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I need to try to beat that. But you need those people in the room because they keep you from getting too just complacent with yourself. You don't want to be doing that. You want to write better. So I want to be better in my music. So I need new people around, new producers who have new things to show me. They all got something. Everybody's got some specified knowledge to give somebody. And I pay attention when I'm in the room. I hear them and I try to apply it to whatever I'm doing the next
day. Does it feel like a coach-player relationship almost?
Yeah,
where you're in the room and it's like coach is kind of helping you along and guiding you with the knowledge that he's got.
Well, what the coaches end up doing when we got to college, we ended up having a man school kind of thing, which is something I did for a while when I was doing coaching with a little league team. It was we do pretty much like a little Bible study together. We do maybe go over a passage and then talk about how you should either treat somebody. One could have been women treating women right, proper etiquette for how you're going to handle talking to somebody in person, which would have been business communication. And we were, you know, trained to be, you want to win in the room or you want to, you know, sit in the room? Which one do you want to do? And I was like, I want to win in the room. And when I show up, I don't want people to be like, who, you know, that guy over there, he's cool. What does he do? No, when they come in, they're like, who, that guy over there is who? Oh, he's cool. That's the difference.
Yeah. What's it like? You said coaching the little league team. You got to coach your.
Same way, like little league. It was
or like T-ball.
Advancement of opportunity for kids who had dropped out. But I knew how to. I knew the proper way for you to be in shape to play at a college level. So it'd be.
So what age groups were these?
18 to 22.
Oh, so you were coaching 18, 22 year old kids.
My buddy Des Anderson has a program, Father Figures, which is, you know, he ended up getting them jobs pretty much throughout the day, and then they would come and practice. And then we were getting to the point of going to different colleges or, you know, trying to get these kids and like, hey, like, I know what it takes to be at a collegiate level. Can you check this kid out? You know, I even got his NIL locker room or whatever, so he's applicable. Get him in here, because they don't teach you none of that stuff. If you drop out of school, you wouldn't know how to, I didn't know how to do that if I had not been recruited. it feels good to be able to pass that little bit of knowledge that, hey, man, your dream ain't done. Cool. So this is what I can do for you. They got them a job. They stay consistent on that. They got discipline from that. Then they got to come out. We busted their ass, showed them what this is what it takes. And I'm sure some of them now, because I got all my music, have, you know, hopefully gotten into being in at least college level. And then we'll see. Because that'd be awesome if one of them gets the NFL. It's like, yeah, you started at 18, 19, 20 because you dropped out of school. And you get to go now practice and do this thing because one grown man decided to put a little program together to help y'all better yourselves.
That's cool, dude. That's very fulfilling.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's incredibly fulfilling. That's incredibly fulfilling, dude. So what's something that you think people don't know about you that they should? We're introducing you to our raised rowdy crowd. We're introducing them to the world of Don Lewis.
Lord, what do you want me to say that people should know?
what's the reason why should they be fucking with Don Lewis?
I'm always trying to change, be the best me that I could be, which is more Christ-like every day. So it's a consistent practice, and the music as well, as I get better, you know, rhyming or putting in these parables, putting in these similes, the like as is the onomatopoeia, is the bam, the slapping it down, that my wordplay, and I'm doing it in the country, I can bring good time to you no matter what the feeling is. I think I'm gonna have a song for that. So if they don't know anything about me, they should know I'm mad decent as a man.
Define mad decent, because that's got to be a Texas term. Because I don't know mad decent. Like, you said it a bunch. Right. I've never said it.
It's like, okay, it's decent, and then it's mad. It's mad decent. It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Mad decent.
Pretty good, man.
Just, I'm expecting a song. I'm expecting you to work mad decent into a country soul title.
Exactly. And you spin it. And that's what they should see. It's like, damn, this stuff is, it's him. It's authentically him. And yeah. It's good. It's a little different. I kind of like it. Maybe you add in a few of your playlists.
Yeah, that's what I like about you too, man. You seem like you're the what you see is what you get guy.
I'm too tired to be anybody else. Other people are trying to be like me, apparently through fake TikToks and snaps.
Oh, dude, yeah, the fake accounts, bro. That means you're doing something right, though. If there's the fake accounts, that means they're trying to be an account that's got something going on.
They're winning, dog. They're getting money and stuff. People showing up to the shows, looking at me passionately, like, you didn't talk to me last week? We're in a 3-month relationship. Had that happen. Feels real weird.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, let me see the messages. They're deep. They're married pretty much, basically. You know, so I'm going to get shot like that one day. Some husband's going to be coming out there. Time, but you've been talking to my wife. It's like, that wasn't even me. And you just buy. You don't even take the time. Then it goes back to look at the messages. It's going to be like Don Lewis, 00JK57, 1399999, the real official.
What blows me away is the fake snap accounts, because it's like, how are they sending a snap that's deep. Not you? Or are they just not showing your face and these people just believe it?
Nah, they studied all my apps, whatever I'm on. They're going there screenshotting. They're taking old pictures, new pictures. They're going back to like Facebook.
No shit.
Make it work. They're making fake AI accounts using like a fake, trying to get as close to my voice.
Bro, the AI shit's crazy.
Right.
The AI shit's dangerous and crazy, man.
It was close enough to, but I could understand why someone would do it. But, you know, there's also legal contracts and certain things. We're lackadaisical, and, you know, it's tough. We're a little lazy. We don't take the time to go in there and really do the research. Then my manager gets yelled at. He's like, so why is Don not showing up today? He said he'd be here. And then you're sitting there like, bro, I don't know who you are. You're going to lie to me? And then look at that. Now you're getting hated. What if he pulls up on a manhunt? He's like, we're going to get him. You going to take my $1,500? Like, I don't even have it. Look, that dude's going to get me killed. It's tough. We got to stop. Stop stealing people's identity. Identity theft is not a game. It's a serious matter.
It is.
These iced teas and vodka. Mad decent. You should
mad
get
decent.
One.
Surfside.
Show a lot more love to this podcast.
Surfside iced tea vodka. Mad decent. You into sports, like watching sports still?
Oh, yeah.
You,
yeah. I still enjoy sportsmanship.
What are your teams that you like following?
The boys, man. I'm a Texas fan.
Oh, you're a Cowboys guy.
Not the Houston. Not that the Texans are cool. If the Texans were in a Super Bowl and the Cowboys weren't, I'm going to claim the Texans. But I'm going to always claim. I'm going to ride with the boys. I'm going to show love to the Rangers. And the Mavs, for sure.
The Rangers Stadium is so fucking nice. Yeah. I went out there. I was out there in 2021, and they were the only stadium not doing the restrictions. And we went to like the second. We happened to be out there on some off days when I was out with Trey, and we went out there. It was the second game ever in that stadium, and it was wild. And then we had a wild night. Went to that Texas Live thing that's outside the stadium.
Yeah.
Then ended up at some clubs that were a little wild. Very DDID. Yeah, dude. It's
Texas fire. Texas fire place to get into.
Texas is a lot of fun for somebody that hasn't been to Texas. Where would you send them first?
Are they city or country?
Ooh, that's a good question. All right, for the country people, where would you send them?
If you want to get like out of town, you go down to Tyler. If you want to go check out, you know, Concrete Cowboy kind of stuff, I would check out Fort Worth because the Stockyards are super fun. They got like the theme of the Western Appeal down there. Still got the cobblestone roads and stuff, but it's more gentrified, I would say. It's like
expensive.
Yeah. So going to Tyler, it's like that's the hit kind of place.
Then where are you sending my city people from New York?
Oh man, you go to Dallas, bro. Go ahead and check out Deep Ellum, and then you know y'all get there's shootings up there. It's just bad down there too. But the food's delicious. The vibes are gonna be all them close bars. You know the dot bars. You never know what you're gonna be able to run into. And then if not there, you should go check out, which is still Dallas, like. The Bishop Arts District, and there's one more that I go check out every now and then. Sheet, I can see it on Greenville Avenue. It'd be lit over there sometimes. That's the city side. It's so funny seeing the guys come out there dressed country with the tennis shoes on. They're like trying to pick up people because this country wave is like putting on like a jacket and go try to get women or go to try to get something from acting like X amount of way. Those are the places you want to go for the city part, though.
Yeah. You ever go down to Houston or Austin? Austin's fucking weird, bro. Oh. Austin is weird. I like Austin because they got an In-N-Out. I think Dallas, you guys have In-N-Out all over Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
But In-N-Out and Bucky's used to be the highlight of Texas for me. Now Bucky's is everywhere. Boosie's,
bro. Boosie's, baby. Yeah, we love. I love stopping at Bucky's. I get those little.
I love stopping at Bucky's when it's chaotic. Like there's a new one that just opened up in Kentucky. And we were coming back from a festival in Ohio, and I said to my business partner Nick and our content guy Ike and our buddy Mitch that was selling merch for us, I was like, hey, we're gonna stop in this thing, and they're like, dude, it's a Sunday, this place just opened, it's gonna be nuts. I'm like, this is the best time.
Probably was.
People watching is prime. I want to see the cast. I want to see the kids all dressed up like they just got out of church. I want to be in the pandemonium of a new Bucky's, and bro, it was wild.
It's just so long to get out of that. Once you get in,
dude, it was awesome.
Trying to check out, you're like.
It was awesome.
Oh, it's a headache.
100%. It was
lose their shit when a new Bucky's comes. They know what it's good.
Oh, and the first one in Kentucky, bro, that went crazy.
I didn't know it was outside of Texas for a while, so that's really cool. Go ahead, Bucky's. Go ahead and send a spot.
They're protective of that beaver, too. Oh, like, man. If anybody tries to make we were talking about, like, the fake accounts. If anybody tries to make, like, a logo that's, like, replicant of the beaver, they will immediately send out cease and desist. They are so protective of that Bucky mascot.
Beaver, that
dude.
Beaver.
That furry beaver's come a long way from Texas.
I didn't get a picture with it, but if I did, I'm going to post it next time and maybe even dress up as it. So, no, I'm just kidding. I don't need no suit. Getting a suit. My Boosie's baby. I'm just kidding. Bucky's goat. Yeah, I don't.
What's another Texas thing that you wish was outside? Because we got Whataburger here now. You're probably more of a Whataburger guy than an In-N-Out guy, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, In-N-Out is good. It's good. It's not bad.
Whataburger's like the Texas shit.
I would rather go to Whataburger's than Brahms. Ain't even apparently Texas, but Brahms is mad solid.
I haven't been to Brahms.
That's right. I don't have them out here. We had to have Brahms out here. What do we got going on in Texas that a lot of people don't going on everywhere? I hate when they get Tex-Mex outside of Texas. It don't make no sense.
Yeah, like Chewy's in Midtown is not the same.
No, not at all. I had an ex that really loved Chewy's too, and I went in there and I took her to some authentic Mexican beforehand. She took me there. I was disappointed with Chewy's chips. It just felt real processed at the time. So I don't go in there very much. All right, what we got out in Texas that we, you know, something that just comes to mind besides barbecue, man. I know Whataburger's already.
Torchy's was one.
Torchy's a Texas thing?
I don't know. It might be a Texas, California. It might be like a West Coast thing.
It is fire.
Because I was going to say Torchy's was something. Whenever there was one nearby in Texas when I was tour managing, it was get the whole band a shit ton of Torchy's.
Get them trash can, you know.
The trash can tacos. Yes, that's right. The trash can tacos. The TCTs.
I would get sponsored by Torchy's if I could. That'd be sick. Just have tacos in your hand all the time.
Tacos whenever the fuck you want.
Like, oh, I'm a camera? Just be eating. I would eat all the time.
That's your Twitch stream.
Yeah, I was like, what does he do the whole time? He just sings and eats.
That's your TikTok live. Just eats tacos. Bust out a song and eat tacos and talk to the people.
Every time, only when you ask the question, though. I wouldn't start answering until you like, you'd be like, what do you like doing with your music?
Yeah. Do you do it? Do you do a lot of lives on like Instagram and TikTok? Or do you do a lot of that social media stuff?
I've been so busy here recently, dog. You get tired kind of trying to do the Instagram live or the TikTok live. But it's great for promotions. When a new song's coming out, yeah, I gotta get on there and I gotta bust it out and get
What are the comments are like in there? What's the Don Lewis so, following so like? Are they
mostly women?
Mostly women. All right. Not a bad problem.
The bros come in eventually afterwards when they realize the lyrics and the vibes are immaculate or whatever. The women are a little wild. Like I said, one day might come over there and try to abduct me. It could happen. You never know. The comments, they get crazy in there. Because, like, what do you respond to when hey, baby, hey, this isn't that? I'm like, hey, love. Just enough to, like, make you feel like, I see you over there talking to me. But then you get those people who probably think, what if I say, hey, love, they finally popped up in. We've been talking for weeks, you know. I'm so glad you called me love. And then they go, and they get off my live, and they're sitting there, he loves me. It's deep. It's deep, dog.
Crazy message. What's the crazy?
He gets all the calls, though. It's cool.
Yeah, that's what you have him for.
I have to redirect him straight to him.
That's what you got manager Mike for.
It's like, hey, just like imagine getting a phone call, they're just breathing. It's just, I'm like, what? This is manager.
He gets those. It gets that wild.
You should do other stuff than music. You're like, whoa. And then we got to hang out. It gets weird for him. I feel bad for him. So we gotta go through it.
Oh, one of them 100%. Was. Oh no!
Yeah, he'd have a better career if he was just getting into corn stuff, you know.
The corn stuff.
A whole lot of good corn stuff. It's tough. He put a whole, request for me on my website too.
Oh, some guy put in a request.
I thought it was gonna be a show. It was gonna be a show, but it wasn't gonna be the show I wanted.
So private party.
Oh yeah. It takes at least $10,000.
I was gonna say it takes a high price for the private party.
Name your number. It gets weird. We get a lot of weird messages. We get people feel so entitled just to say crazy. Wall stuff sometimes, and I think it's because they're talking to fake people. It's like, what does this even mean? You're not the same Don you used to be. So like, you don't know.
You're
me.
Not the same Don. You're not the same Don you used to be.
You're just seeing what you've seen literally virtually for this X amount of time. And hopefully I'll put off a good enough vibe that you don't think I'm a piece of shit or whatever. But like, you don't know me.
Do you have a lot of haters in the comments and stuff too?
Doing good. I delete them, you know, because I can't be being in there with the haters. Or I kill them with kindness. So there'll be people that come in there. You're just a one hit wonder. It's like, bro, how many million streams on each and every song would you have to consider for it to be a hit or whatever, yeah. You know? And it's like, if this is my one hit, why is this one outdoing this one?
Yeah.
That's the biggest haters against. And I tell them, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. Why don't you come over here sometime? Yeah, let me give you a hug.
That's the key.
I'm going to give you a hug.
I'm going to pray for you. That's the response right there.
Over there getting ugly. Like, what do you create? What do you do for the world? Oh, you got, I don't care about followers, but like, what are you even putting out there besides just commenting? Because life probably ain't going too good on the other side of the phone. Them Twitter fingers sounded real strong, but you know you wouldn't talk to me like that in person. And I gotta kill him with kindness. Like, I'm sure, yeah. Hey, baby, don't even worry about it. Y'all, everybody in the chat, all 100, let's all pray for old .10997 anonymous. No pay, you know, that's, and it turns into that. So you just gotta learn how to get through it. Cause I see being hard is tough. That mental, it gets drained on, chopped at, stabbed a lot of the time. They wanna try to kill your confidence. And you gotta have a little bit of an ego to make this happen.
Yeah, you do. You do for sure. So Liquor Talking comes out August. It comes out here at the end of August. So excited for this album to hear what you've got. Hear what you've got going on, dog. It's fucking wild. Like you said, it's perfect timing for where you're at. You've been coming out to town now for 2 years. You've been doing this music thing, you said, for what, like 4 years?
Yeah.
And now you're getting to put out a body of work. Like Liquor Talking.
I love my work, it's too, awesome, man. It feels good to have good work behind it, too. Imagine, you know, you get to see when you finish a painter, you finish building a house, you finish building anything, you're like, look at that. We made that happen. Look at all those people doing, you know, shaking their heads, moving, having a good time, crying, having feeling something in every one of them songs. We're going to be proud of what we're doing over here. It's amazing.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out. And we're definitely going to have to kick it. You said you hung out at a cigar lounge. You a cigar guy?
getting into it.
You're getting into it? All right.
Stop drinking so much.
You and I, so we have, we do a lot of cigar related events, and we have a good partnership with Crowned Heads. It's a Nashville based cigar company that has about 20 different blends. And I don't have any here with me, but we can for sure get together, have a cigar. There's a spot in East Nashville called Smoker's Abbey that we hang out at.
Where do we go to? So, Greenbrier?
Greenbrier Whiskey. There's a place called Smoker's Abbey in East, and it's a really cool vibe, dude. It's a great vibe. Very low key, chill. We'll definitely have to get together and have
maybe
a stick.
Like a cigar bar with a pool table or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, we have to find a cigar bar with a pool table. We'll have to find one of those.
Gotta be one.
Is there a big pool table guy? Right. I just got into darts recently.
Keeps the night going.
Darts are my new bar game. And I didn't know I was good at darts, and I was playing in somebody's garage in fucking Ohio, and I was hitting bullseyes. Yeah, and I never played before, and I'm like, all right, darts is my game now.
Maybe this is my skill. Maybe I need to quit podcasting and just be a professional dart player.
Just be a professional dart player, an ESPN athlete.
Don't even practice. Just like, have a story like that. How did you get into it? I was just naturally good at it. Just came in shooting.
I was just smoking cigars and throwing bullseyes, bro.
Knew Straight McCollin. Picked up.
That's it, bro. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you. Y'all be sure to check out our boy, Don Lewis, and be on the lookout for Liquor Talking dropping August 23rd?
23rd.
I was going to say, I got the 23rd right here.
You're right.
On the official information. Shout out to Nick. So, Liquor Talking, August 23rd. I'll be sure to follow our boy, Don Lewis. Be on the lookout for that country soul that is coming at you. And you're going to feel all the phases of when the liquor talks, you know? Feel a little sad, feel a little happy, feel a little angry. You'll turn up a little bit.
Yeah, all that.
And you'll feel like that when you're drinking these Surfsides, too. So, I'll be sure to give us a review, a like, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching. You're listening. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tell your mama and them. And be sure to follow Raised Rowdy for all of our other stuff that we do. For my man Don Lewis, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make